We started a series last week. I entitled it The Promised One. We talked about it, the fall of man, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that sin, death, judgment all came into this world. But God already had a plan, and he told the devil and the man and the woman that there would be a man come from the woman, and he was going to destroy the works of the devil. This morning I want to talk about the promised one revealed. And the text, very familiar, is out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's the truth. I thank you for those who could come out this morning. Father, I pray that you will just take this to our hearts, encourage and bless us with this promise that you have given us. I thank you that we live in a time that we have realized this, and we live under the benefits of this promise. I ask your blessing on those who are here and those who could not be here. I ask for your healing touch on the sick, on the depressed, on all those who need your ministry, Lord, that you would just minister to them through your Holy Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, we talked about the fall of man. Adam, if you've never read the genealogy of Luke, and I had somebody got very offended at me for this one time, but in Luke's genealogy of Jesus, he goes all the way back to Adam, and he says, Adam, who was the Son of God. And one lady thought I was trying to make that I was trying to deify Adam, but I said no. And Jesus is called the second Adam in Scripture. So the first Adam disobeyed God. He sinned, and he brought sin and death and judgment, and that passed to all of us. And God promised the man, the woman, and the devil that there would be a man, another man come, who was going to undo that. And that's what we're talking about today, the promised one revealed. He was not going to be like any other man. He's going to be very unique. I read a treatise one time written by a minister years ago on the 52 different offices of Jesus that the Bible speaks of. Well, we're not going to cover all 52 of those today, but we are going to talk about the uniqueness of this promised one that God would send. And we're going to mainly be in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah begins by telling us that he is God's gift to all people. For he said, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. So he's God's free gift. John, in his gospel, writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, condemnation came into the world through the first Adam. This man was going to bring justification. The Bible says if we believe in him, if we turn to him, if we repent of our past and agree to follow him, that we pass from that judgment that came into life eternal. And this is God's free gift. None of us can earn this. Don read a good reading this morning out of Hebrews before we had the Lord's Supper. And God gave man the law to show us how sinful sin was and how sinful we are. So this was a God-sized problem. And I'm so glad that God already had in mind what he was going to do before he ever created the earth. That's amazing to me that he loved us so much he decided to create us anyway, and he knew what was going to happen, but he said, I got this covered. And so this son that Isaiah prophesied about some 700 years before Jesus was born is God's free gift to all people. The promised one would be the begotten Son of God. I'm not going into great detail about this, but the word begotten in the Hebrew and the Greek can mean sired, as a man and a woman having children, but it also means to be ordained or to hold the office of. There's been a lot of argument about Jesus being the Son of God with some people, but it literally means that God ordained him to be his son. Jesus is God the Word, who existed with God in the beginning. He created the world. They were created through him. Greg talked about this in Sunday school this morning. And God said through the prophet David to the son, he said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." So he's begotten, not born. Jesus does not have a beginning. He was the Word of God in eternity past, who became the man that God promised was coming into the world. So the promised one is God incarnate. God couldn't trust this job to any man. I remember in Bible college, one of my professors told me that Jesus had to be born of God, because if he'd been born of man, he'd have had the nature of sin, and he could not have been a sacrifice. And I said, "Well, then Mary didn't have a sin nature?" He goes, "No, women have sin nature, but the man's the one that passes it on." And I said, "Well, that makes no sense to me at all, because Jesus is all man and he's all God. He's not half and half. He became a man because the Bible says the children have flesh and blood. He partook of the same." So Jesus is all man. God said there would be a man come from the woman. He's the Son of God because he was the only one that could undo what the devil did through the first man, Adam. The prophet Isaiah spoke of his conception in this way: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel in the Hebrew means God with us. Luke confirmed this in his narrative in his gospel when the angel Gabriel appeared to the young woman Mary and told her she was going to bear the promised one. And Mary said, "I don't see how this is going to happen." He said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." The name Jesus, Yeshua, means the Lord saves. So it's all about salvation. Emmanuel means God with us. Yeshua means the Lord saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So that explains when God said a man born of a woman. He was unique. He was placed in the womb by the Holy Spirit of God. So he is God's only begotten Son. He would be God incarnate. Now, the prophet Isaiah said this: "His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is not a God, as some have tried to teach. One group says that God and one of his celestial wives had spirit kids, and Jesus and the devil were two of them. They're actually brothers. But you see, if Jesus is God, which I believe he is, he didn't have a beginning. He's always been here. Another group that I've dealt with said, well, Jesus was Michael the archangel who became a man, and therefore he is a God, little g, not the God, big G. But that's not what Isaiah said through the Holy Spirit. God himself said that his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are all names of God. And God also said through the prophet Isaiah, I don't share my glory with anyone else. Now I'm paraphrasing that. I don't give my glory to another. He said through the prophet Isaiah, I am Israel's redeemer, and I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And that's what I have used when I've talked to these people that try to tell me Jesus is a God. I said, you're contradicting the word of God, because God himself said there's no other God but me. He said to Israel, there's no other God that I know of. And God doesn't lie. So if somebody tells you Jesus is a God, little g, you have to understand they're either ignorant of the word or they're intentionally trying to deceive you. God himself said through this prophet, he's God. God is coming as a man. Now I told you that treatise I read talked about the 52 different offices Jesus held. Well, Isaiah today that we're looking at, he's talking about the uniqueness of this man. So he said he's God's son, he's God himself. He also says he's a king. We read that he was going to rise to the throne of David and have a kingdom that would never end. Only God can do that. Jesus identified himself to John in the book of Revelation. He said, I am the first and I am the last. You can't have two first and two last. There's only one first and one last. And Jesus said, John, I am the first, I am the last. I was dead, now I'm alive forever. Praise God. Do you know the Bible said that he's tasted death for all of us? That was something that came into the world through Adam's sin, was death, and Jesus tasted that for every one of us when he died on that cross. But death couldn't hold him. And guess what? Death won't hold you. I've done a lot of funerals, and I always read Revelation 21 at the grave, because the dead will be raised, all the dead. They're not in an unconscious state. They're in a holding place right now. But God has promised there would be a day through Jesus Christ that all the dead will be raised. That's what you and I have to look forward to. Death isn't final. But Jesus told John, I am the first, I am the last. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever. So we see that the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. He will ascend to the throne of David, his father, according to the flesh, and he will rule forever and ever. There'll be no more wars, no more death, no more famines, no more tears. It'll be a kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. This world is looking for peace now, and they're saying, we got to do this to make peace. We got to do that to make peace. And I want to assure you through the word of God, there will be no peace until Jesus Christ returns. It'll be a pseudo-peace, a false peace that'll be easily broken. We're going to continue to have wars and poverty and troubles and famines on this place until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and then that'll all be done away with. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. So Isaiah said he would be a king, but he also said he'd be a servant. He would be God's servant, who would reconcile us back to God. Isaiah wrote in chapter 49, and now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant. This is the Son speaking to the Father. To bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light of a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So God told the Son, you're going to reclaim the lost tribes of Israel. But he said, you know what? That's too small of a thing. I'm going to have you bring my salvation to all the earth. Aren't you glad for that? I've heard people that claim we have to be one of the lost tribes of Israel to be saved. That's a lie. Number one, the tribes aren't lost. God knows exactly where they're at. And if you're a Jew, you still have to come to God through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. This is the promised one that God was sending, that he has sent. He is the Son. He is God. He's a king. He's God's servant. And when he returns, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. It's hard for me to get my mind around the fact that God loves his creation so much that he was willing to humble himself and become a servant and die on a cross for us, die a criminal's death, in order that we could be forgiven and reconciled back to God. That's what Christmas is about to me. Next week we're going to talk about the promised one realized, the birth of Jesus Christ, when God stepped into this world and walked among his creation for 33 years. That's what Christmas is about. It's nice getting gifts and getting to spend time with family and, you know, to relax and reminisce. But as believers, we need to keep in the forefront of our minds that Christmas is all about God's promise and sending the promised one. I don't care if it's not on December. I've heard those arguments. The winter solstice and the early Catholic Church did this and that. I could care less. What I care about is God did exactly what he said he's going to do, and it doesn't matter when we celebrate it. If we want to do Christmas in July, I'm okay with that because God kept his promise. The promised one has been here. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. And he did exactly what God sent him here to do. And someday, as Phil said in his prayer, he's coming back to gather us to himself. You can believe that promise because he's kept all the other promises he made, hasn't he? Yeah. So let's live as though he's coming back, that we can greet him without shame or guilt, without having to back up away from him. Let's be that kind of people. Would you stand with me this morning? If you've never called on the name of the Lord, the Bible says whoever calls on him shall be saved. If you believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and you call upon the name of the Lord, he has promised to forgive you and to make you a new creature, to wipe the slate clean, to deliver us from the judgment that Adam brought to this world, deliver us from sin and death, and to give us eternal life. And I don't know why anybody wouldn't want that.